Greetings, listeners. This is your host, Jeremy Johnson. I'm the recruiting reporter here at the Athens Banner-Herald. We are here on the first episode of the Bulldog Extra Recruiting Podcast. First, you know, before I get going here, got a few news notes from, you know, the world of recruiting this week. UGA picked up two big-time commitments from four stars. Defensive lineman Tyree West out of Tifton committed to the Bulldogs on, I believe it was Wednesday, and he's projected to play defensive tackle. He's a defensive end in high school right now, big-time player, one of the top recruits at the position in the country. Darius Smith, four-star outside linebacker from Appling County, picked Georgia on Thursday. He's a little bit of an unknown guy at this point, big-time potential. You can check out all my stories analyzing both of those guys that came out this week. Nylon Green is expected to announce his decision. He's a five-star corner out of Newton County High School in Covington, and he will be making his decision public on Tuesday. It's between Clemson, Georgia. A couple others are in there, and, you know, that'll be a big get for Kirby Smart if he's able to land that young man. Enough of that recruiting news. I have a very special guest here with me today for the first episode. Former coach of mine, former Bulldog, Damian Gary. Appreciate you coming on. I'm glad to have you here with me. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I appreciate you extending the invite, and, you know, you gave me the call, and, you know, I was more than happy to come and be part of this first episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate it. And, you know, I turned 29 this week, and I feel it, but and, you know, I go to these games. I was at Clark Central last week, and I'm like, man, it's been 10-11 years since I stepped on this field, and obviously I was injured, so I didn't really get to play as much as I wish I had. But just what do you feel about that, just being back at your alma mater and, you know, seeing how it's evolved and seeing all the things that have changed over the last couple of years, or just since I've left? And for you, it's, you know, I know it's been a couple of generations of kids that have come through there.
Well, absolutely. Well, I can tell you, those feelings will never change. You're going to always have those thoughts and feelings like, man, I was just here. Like, it seems like yesterday that I was, you know, in those guys' same position. You know, and even being back as a coach for the second time, I still got the same feelings, the same butterflies, the same, you know, feelings I had walking through the pines. You know, those feelings never go away. You know, I'm sure you can attest with, you know, some of the relationships and brotherhoods that you built, you know, with guys on the team. You know, some of those things are still around today. You know, it's a you know, magnificent feeling. And, you know, just some of the things that I try to share with the guys that, hey, you know I play, you know, collegiately, but high school is going to be, you know, some of the funner times, some of the more kind of times you can enjoy it a little bit more. It's not much of a business, even though I know recruiting is kind of, you know, taking its own spin on things right now. But I said, but when you get down to the core of it, I said, these will probably be some of the more funner times that you'll have to just play the game of football and not have to worry about kind of the business aspect of it.
Absolutely. I definitely remember. I still remember, you know, what the locker room was like after the state championship game, mm-hmm. even, you know, what those camps were like. I still remember those. I still remember every day of it, just as if it was happening last week or happening, you know, a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I definitely agree with that. And, you know, I think people are kids at this point in time are, you know, so focused on getting to the next level, which is great, you know, mm-hmm. but, you know, I think there's like a stat that says there's 7% of people that aren't going to get there. 7% of all high school athletes will get to play at the next level. And that don't always mean you're going to play Division One. That means you're going to be playing Division Two, Division Three, and you might be walk-on. So,
absolutely.
I mean, I definitely think this high school experience is something that's been a little undersold lately, especially. And, you know, being a coach and with COVID and everything that, mm-hmm. you know, you guys just concluded your season. What, you know, with COVID and all that going on, what was the, I guess, the sense from the seniors that, saying, you know, seeing that they got the opportunity to experience that one last time before they moved on versus, you know, having to do all this recruiting stuff just without any film, without any experiences on Friday nights this fall?
Well, you know, that was one of the things I shared with the senior at the conclusion of our game in the locker room is, you know, hey, seniors, if 2020 didn't teach us anything else, it told us, you know, not to, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't depend on we're going to do something tomorrow. I said, because just looking back at the summer, it was probably 50-50 that we thought we would be in this position to even play a season. I said, and you guys, you know, you guys were flexible. You guys did everything we asked. You guys gave us everything you had, you know, not knowing what tomorrow might hold. You know, I said, I know we, you know, we got to go ahead to play. But even in those times of the go ahead and play, it was still a little shaky on what week to week felt like. You know, what workout's going to be shut down? What we're going to practice this week? Or what we're going to have a game? And I said, you guys endured all of that. So the seniors, you know, really were, you know, appreciative and didn't take it for granted. You know, they realized what they had to kind of go through and how unprecedented some of the things that they had to go through. Not sure what next year holds. But no class before them has ever had to deal with anything that they've had to. And they overcame and they really made the best out of a kind of shaky situation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's you hear the stories from everywhere around the state, you know, and just how appreciative these seniors are. And I know, you know, the way football recruiting works is, you know, you got guys that, you know, maybe didn't get to play as much as juniors and sophomores, and they maybe not didn't have the opportunity to get to these camps that, you know, got an opportunity to get out and put some film on tape. Now people are starting to recruit them. So mm-hmm. I think that can't be overlooked in all of this. And, you know, I think of a guy like over at Jefferson, Jordan Perry. He's mm-hmm. a guy that, you know, he's got all the skill and talent in the world. He just didn't have the film that people could pull from, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely think wanting to pick your brain about that. And I know you were a UGA Bulldog. So what's different about the kid that you're coaching today rather than, you know, maybe the kids that were out there, you know, when I was playing or when you were being recruited? Just how different is, you know, the person that you're trying to coach? I mean, you get kids in your program now that already have a bit of a following and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Well, I think you kind of hit it on the nail right there. You know, we didn't really have to deal with social media.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook a little bit, but – you know, now it's the world we live in. It's social media. Like I said, kids have followings, kids doing a lot of specializing. You know, and to me personally, you know, I get asked, you know, what do you think about a kid going to train here or doing that? And I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. But as a college coach, you know, I would always love to see a kid that was versatile. Kid plays basketball, kid wrestles, kids run track, kid doing multiple things. Because at the end of the day, those things teaches a kid how to compete, how to overcome different things within the game setting. You know, it's only limited things that, you know, we may be able to accomplish with a specialized trainer. And again, I love a kid going to work on his backpedal or work on his route running or what have you. But, you know, some of those other intangibles that a kid needs and that coaches look for, you know, some of those things you can find out, you know, in game situations, you know, whether it's a basketball game, whether it's wrestling, whether it's track, whatever it is. So, you know, me personally, I like to see a kid that can do a lot of different things because I'm looking for an athlete more than just maybe a one-trick pony, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just looking at the climate around, you know, not just Athens, but, you know, looking at the Gwinnett area and, you know, Athens obviously has the two high schools, mm-hmm. public high schools, Cedar and Clark Central, and, you know, I'm looking at the sidelines, and I'm not seeing as many kids as, mm-hmm. you know, maybe would have been there maybe 10 years ago.
Correct.
And, you know, I go to some of these private schools and, you know, some of these bigger schools in the Gwinnett area, and you see hundreds of kids. And, you know, you look there in their depth chart, and they got kids with offers already, and you're like, wow, what's the mindset behind that? Because, you know, back in when Billy Henderson was winning state championships, mm-hmm. you know, you had – I mean, there wasn't as many schools in town then, but, and, you know, there wasn't as many other options for kids, but, you know, what's the difference in the mindset of, man, I'm playing ball with my guys I grew up with, and, you know, we've been waiting to get to a state championship game for, since we were little kids, mm-hmm. and when you finally get to the Friday Night Lights, that's what you do. I mean, yep. you playing with your friends. Now it seems to be more targeted, you know.
Yeah.
Kids seem to go somewhere where they think they're going to get the spotlight and mm-hmm. they think they're going to get the eyes of the college recruits, I mean college coaches, which, you know, I don't have an issue with that. I think that's, you know, in some ways that's kind of the game you have to play to be able to
make it to the next level in a manner that is comfortable with you. And I'm no way knocking that. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, it's different than what we've seen in the past.
Correct. Absolutely. You know, like I said, I don't, you know, knock a kid or a parent for wanting to go wherever. You know, I can only, you know, speak personally and speak for, you know, my kids. I'm for your person. Mm. You know, I had the opportunity to go to the next level. Back then, recruiting was different. I was naive to a lot of recruiting. I didn't think a lot about recruiting because at the end of the day, like you said, for me, it was just going to play ball with my boys. That's really the only thing I thought about. And when I started to get recruiting, you know, I was like, I'm no different than – I'm not even the best player on my team. Mm. Like, I've got 5 or 6 other guys that are just as good as me. You know, I just had the opportunity to, you know, go to the next level, but it was never about me. It was never about me trying to get the spotlight. Like, it was more about the team. And, again, a lot of that was, you know, built on the – you know, how coaches coached us. You know, mm-hmm. Billy Henderson, obviously, you know, it was more about the team than, hey, what offers can I get? You know, how can I go get put in the spotlight? Because I know if I just did my part that we was going to shine, but within we, I was going to shine as well. So that's kind of how I approach everything, you know, even with the guys I coach. I said, if you can play, they'll find you. Might not be D1, might not be D2, but if you can play and you want an opportunity to play on the next level, coaches will find you. I said, so yeah, you know, it may be easier to go here or there, you know, to get recruited or what have you. I said, but if a coach likes you enough and you do your part academically and athletically, he'll find you. And I think that's kind of starting to happen at, you know, not just Clark Central, but, you know, in Athens, period. And you got to think about, you know, we've got a different demographic than it was back then. You know, we're dealing with a lot of things that surrounding counties might not have to. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a lot of poverty. We've got a lot of kids that, you know, their safe haven is football. Mm-hmm. When they go home, you know, it's chaotic. You know, they having to watch younger sisters, brothers, cousins. You know, they live in, you know, multiple families living in one place. So it's a lot that they have to deal with that I didn't have to deal with, that kids on my team, you know, that I played with didn't have to deal with. So, you know, again, I can see going somewhere else and may not having to have that issue. But, again, this is home for me. You know, if I'm going to help anybody out, I'm going to start at home first before, you know, I start branching out anywhere else. So, like I said, it could go both ways. But, you know, for me personally, you know, I'm going to make sure I take care of home first.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, you hear, you see, you know, what's going on around Athens, obviously. And, you know, as a coach, you know, that's got to be another added, you know, added responsibility, you know, just, you know, especially being from here. Mm-hmm. And what was it for you that made you have that mindset? Where did that come from? That, hey, you know, if I'm going to take care of somebody, like you said, I'm going to take care of the people that, you know, this city raised you, you mm-hmm. know? So,
absolutely.
Where did that mindset come from for you?
Well, I think, you know, even when I first started playing football, 4 or 5 years old, I'm living in Rock Spring Homes and I'm playing on the playground, bunch of kids, and a little league coach just comes and, hey, you want to play football? I never even thought about playing organized football. So from that point on, it's been multiple coaches in my life, multiple men in my life, family, obviously, that continue to support me, continue to show me the way, continue to help me to go right when I maybe want to go wrong, you know, because I'm like a lot of these kids. I grew up in Rock Springs. I didn't come from, you know, everything. You know, I had to kind of work for it. I had to go through some of the same struggles that they do. Single parent home. You know, I can relate with a lot of the things that the guys that I'm coaching are going through. So I think a lot of that kind of shaped me, shaped my mentality, shaped my philosophy, definitely kept me rooted at home. And even when I went to Georgia, you know, I still had a ton of support from, you know, the friends that I grew up with, you know, my teammates, obviously. But I think, you know, those experiences have really helped me because, again, a lot of the kids that we coach, I got to go pick them up. I got to make sure they got snacks when they get to practice. You know, I got to buy socks for them. I got to get this and that for them. And I'm okay with that because somebody had to do it for me. And I love that opportunity. I love being the one person that might be that they can depend on, because who knows what they can depend on at home. So if I can help them, kind of ease their mind when they get to practice by making sure they got something to eat, by making sure they got socks on Friday, by making sure they got gloves or what have you, then I'm going to make sure I do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's just watching, you know, just like I said, like coming from the experience myself, you know, I can still relate to a lot of the kids that are playing in your program and programs around the state. Absolutely. So, you know, obviously I could have both my parents, so I was lucky. And, you know, I had, you know, my dad to take me to practice. My mom was there, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, I had teammates that are coming from the situation that you're describing. So how does that differ from even when you first began coaching? You know, obviously, you know, my generation, we watched you play.
Yeah.
So we know who you are. We know, you know, we had a different level of respect for you just because of, you know, knowing where you came from one, and then knowing what you accomplished. Now, this generation that is starting to come through Clark Central now may not be as privy to who you are and what you did and where you played. They may not know you. So you have to build that relationship from the ground up, I guess. So,
absolutely.
You know, what's the difference, and how much of an adjustment has that been?
Well, you know, the one thing, you know, obviously coming back, some of the people knew who I was, some people didn't. But even when I just meet anybody or I start coaching anybody, you know, I don't ever tell them where I've been, what I've done, because I don't want them to know that, or not necessarily know that, but want them to connect me with that as far as some type of credibility. You know, like, I want to earn it. I want to make sure they get to know me as the person, not, hey, Damian Gary played football here or there. I want them to know Coach Gary. I want them to know who I am as a person. But again, because football and life is all about relationships. So I'm trying to build those relationships with the guys. And like you said, you know, you guys' generation obviously knew who I was because it was much closer to the time that I played. But now it's even fun. Like, even when I'm in PE class with some of the kids, you know, I talk trash, obviously, but I kind of sit back and they're like, Coach G, you know, I'll take you to the hole. I was like, okay, you can try it. And so they'll challenge me and I have to go show them every now and then they'll start doing their homework. A couple weeks later, just an example, one of the kids like, Coach G, I didn't know you played at Georgia. I was like, well, you didn't ask either. So, you know, I didn't feel like I had to just tell you that. So you can kind of see the kid's eyes light up, and kind of right then it was like, I got him. You know, it was a different sign of respect because, again, you know, what you doing here? Like, you stayed in Rock Spring? You played at Georgia? Like, you know, they kind of see a lot of them in me. And that's exactly what I want at the end of the day, to let them know that, hey, man, I started where you started. Mm-hmm. You know, you can – trust me, you can get there. I was just lucky. I'm not saying I was overly athletic or overly this. You know, I did things the right way. And that's what you got to do in life, no matter where it is. Just do things the right way and you'll get rewarded for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think that message is – I think that is amazing to hear, just because, you know, some of these kids think – they see these places and they don't believe in them.
Correct.
And, you know, it's kind of discouraging to hear kids when they, you know – it takes them time to come to realizations that, you know, they can reach these places. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, you weren't told that you can do whatever you wanted to do when you were a kid. And, you know, sometimes that reality isn't real for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I don't think all of this country or all of this planet understands that, you know, the saying that you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody don't hear it that way, and everybody doesn't hear that, mm-hmm. you know, growing up. So, you know, just having somebody there that can, you know, attach the dots for you. Hey, I started here, now I'm here.
Yeah.
You can do that as well. And you could probably even, you know, the expectations and the possibilities are limitless. So,
absolutely.
I'm changing the subject a little bit, but it's also Athens related. You know, when I went to Georgia State and was living in Atlanta, people would think about Athens and they were like, oh, you live where UGA is. And, you know, you hear that a lot. And when you start describing Athens to them, you know, the version of Athens that I grew up in, they're like, wait a minute, what do you mean? And I'm like, I mean, there's two Athens. Oh, sorry about that. Two Athens communities.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely,
you've lived in both. So I want to get your perspective on that. Just what is that like, growing up in Athens and then making the move to UGA and then living in that culture for a while.
Well, it's truly like a bubble. Mm. You know, it's like the NBA bubble. You know, it's two different worlds that you as you describe, and it's always funny because when I went to Georgia, my aunt worked at the Tate Center, so obviously I was, you know, not only connected to Georgia before I got there, but my aunt is a season ticket holder since before I was born. So she had a lot of connections on campus. So within that, you know, a lot of my teammates became her sons as well. And so, you know, we would hang out, you know, we would still be at the house all the time. So they kind of got a chance to see both worlds. Like I would take them, I would ride through where I grew up at. I would show them the back roads. I would take them the places to eat, Weaver D's. You know, I would show them some of those little different things outside of UGA that, you know, they could see that they wouldn't maybe necessarily know if they, you know, didn't stay here. So, yeah, like you said, it's two different worlds, but it was fun to kind of connect the two worlds and kind of show them a day in the life of kind of where I grew up at and, you know, how I got to where I got to. And, you know, it's even, you know, nobody really realizes this, but every time I talk about where I come from, I was like, yeah, I said every school I ever went to was on one street. I said I went to Apps Road at the top of Baxter. I went next door to Clark Middle. I came down the hill to Clark Central. And then at the bottom of the hill is UGA. And I said, it's all on the same street. And they was like, what? And so they really didn't realize until we rolled up Baxter Street. And I was like, yep, we're at UGA. There's Clark Central. There's Clark Middle. There's Apps Road. They was like, wow, I thought you were lying. But again, you wouldn't know those things if, you know, you weren't from Athens to be able to kind of connect those dots with the two different communities, like you said.
Yeah. Well, what was the challenge? Mostly just, I mean, I don't know if you've spoken about this before, but just the challenge of having that bubble and being in that bubble and then seeing how different one end of the bubble is versus, you know, you ride down the street to Sanford Stadium and it's a different world.
Absolutely. Man. Well, I think that the biggest challenge of the bubble was obviously the demand of you check that box and held those responsibilities, which I think was good because we didn't have a lot of time to ourselves. So, you know, only time I would really go home if I wanted a good meal or if I needed to wash clothes or something like that. So I didn't really have a lot of time to be kind of endorsed or get caught up in maybe the other part of the community, being outside of that bubble. But at the same time, you know, I never abandoned my friends. You know, we were still cool. Now they, you know, a couple of my best friends went to Morehouse to play basketball. Another one of my friends went to West Georgia. So we still all stayed connected, but at the same time, you know, it wasn't like they were here just hanging out. So it was good though, but it was, like I said, it was always a challenge to make sure because, you know, trouble is easy to find.
Your home city, you know, it's, you know, obviously in hip hop, you know, you watch some of the things that are going on in hip hop right now. It's these guys go home and, you know, that's where the trouble comes for them. And it's sad to see that, you know, having that hometown feel and going home is where you find your real problems. And that's the people that want to hurt you. But, you know, that's beside the point. And just how has going away for a time and coming back? Did you need that space just to kind of get away for a little bit and going and experiencing other places and other people's culture? You know, I know it's all USA, but
absolutely. I mean, I think that was probably the best thing for me. Like I said, I had been around Athens all my life. First time I ever moved away was when I was 30 years old, right before my 30th birthday. Me and my wife moved to Mars Hill. Obviously, Mars Hill is, you know, very different from Athens. Mountains, one light town, very laid back. Now you got Asheville, which is 20 minutes away, which is a little bit more diverse culture. But again, very different from Athens. So from a personal standpoint, you know, we didn't know anybody. You know, it's funny because the head coach, Tim Clifton, didn't know at the time when I was interviewing, coached at Clark Central under Billy Henderson. Had no idea. So we had that connection that, hey, we both one of Billy's boys. You know, he actually came with Billy from Macon to coach up here at Clark Central. So, you know, that was good for us. But besides really Coach Clifton, it was me and my wife figuring out life together. You know, for the first time, we both moving away from Athens. You know, our entire families is from Athens. Like, we know really nothing outside of Athens for more than a weekend if we're going to go to Atlanta or whatever. So that was our first time moving away, but it was good for us. We grew a lot. I grew a lot professionally. Obviously, I want to go back to high school. Working under Leroy Riles, I obviously learned a lot from Riles. That was, I mean, still one of my mentors to this day. So I learned a lot from him. I got to learn a lot in the collegiate ranks under Coach Clifton, and then on to Charlotte, where family moved the second time. Again, my three youngest kids were born in Charlotte. So Charlotte is a dear place to us. But, you know, having that time away helped me shape my philosophy so much. You know, it obviously picked up things along the way. And I always said when I got a chance to be a head man or coordinate, you know, it was some things that I wanted to do or implement. And, you know, being back at home, you know, Coach Perno really giving me an opportunity to kind of put my stamp on the offense and do things the way I want to. So he's given me a lot of flexibility and, you know, very, you know, appreciative of the opportunity he gave me to come back home to coordinate the offense. So, like you said, definitely that time away was needed. I was able to kind of spread my wings, fail, and learn how to get back up and figure things out, because it wasn't easy. It was tough for us. You know, we didn't know how we was going to make it sometimes. You know, we actually took a pay cut to go because it was my dream to coach on a collegiate level. But again, you know, I think failing is not always bad. You know, failing teaches us how to get up, teaches us how to find another opportunity, teaches us how to find a way to get through. And I think kids sometimes need to fail to figure things out and not always have that safety net or be sheltered, you know, because, again, we learn a lot when we fail.
Absolutely. And you brought me a little bit to my next point. You know, I'm just listening to you talk about, you know, being here and, you know, having, you know, trouble being an easy thing to find. And, you know, it's even easier for kids now just because you can say stuff on social media that can get you into trouble.
Absolutely.
Not get you recruited. And but, you know, I think people have kind of erased the whole, these are kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously they're going to make mistakes and they're going to say things that they shouldn't say. And how do you approach telling your players, even just young people in general, just, you know, one, about being cognitive and thinking about the things that they put out there on social media, but then also, you know, understanding that, you know, being forgiving as an adult that, hey, you know, this kid probably just don't know any better, or this kid is still learning just about life. And
correct.
I know so many times you see these kids get condemned and, they their lives go down a bad path because, you know, an adult couldn't be forgiving for what happened.
Correct.
So
I think it's important that, again, as a coach, as an adult, if we just look back and think about how our 18-year-old, if we had the same platform, what were some of the things that we might say? Or even some of the things that we might have done that might not be as magnified now because we didn't have that platform. So I think it's important, like you said, that, you know, we understand that we're dealing with teenagers. They're not adults. They're figuring life out. Obviously, they're immature. So I think we have to put that in context to know that, you know, these kids are going to make mistakes. It's our job to, you know, especially as a coach, to shape them and let them know that, hey, this is not smart what you may be putting out. It's not smart, maybe, what you're doing, maybe how you're acting. So, you know, we definitely have to make sure that we instill that discipline in them and let them know that, hey, and I always tell them, I said, listen, I'm not here to judge you because I'm not perfect. Whatever you've done, I've probably done 10 times worse. So don't feel like you got to be perfect for me or that I'm going to hold judgment against you. That's never going to be the case because it's not my job to judge you. My job is to help you move forward, learn from whatever this situation may be, and let's find a way to, you know, to get it overcome or do it better the next time.
And you know, I think that's one of the values of football is, you know, people are, you know, coming through a football program, you're gonna learn some stuff and experience some stuff that people will never ever experience.
Absolutely.
And you'll get lessons out of it that you won't get anywhere else.
Absolutely.
I'm just being honest. And this is coming from a guy who played football. So, you know, there's a clip of Nick Saban saying, can't remember how he put it, but basically he was saying that, you know, if I suspend this guy and, And if I had to suspend this guy, I think he was a coach at Michigan State.
I remember that, yeah.
And he was like, if I suspended this guy and kicked him off the team, you know, where would he be right now? Yeah. I know this guy right now because I disciplined him on the side and forgave him and allowed him to work himself back into the program. Now this guy's a millionaire. He has businesses. He's got a degree. His daughter's about to go to Harvard. Like, that changed that guy's entire family trajectory because somebody allowed him the opportunity to make a mistake.
Absolutely. And that's kind of our, you know, our message as a coaching staff, you know, personally mine. You know, I always tell the kids, I tell the parents, I said, I'm going to coach them hard, but I'm going to love them even harder. And sometimes that come with tough love. Sometimes that's disciplining a kid. Sometimes that's you know, making a kid run or do something that, you know, he may not get at home. But again, it's my job to make sure that, you know, again, I coach him hard, but I love him harder. And sometimes, like you said, in football, you get a lot of those lessons because you have to, again, if you're going to be a good program or a good team or even a good person, period, you know, sometimes you're going to have to have some discipline in life. And sometimes you're going to have to get up when you don't want to. When you got to go to work and you didn't want to. Because I tell them, someday, you know, you're going to want a family. And that baby girl or baby boy is going to be looking towards you for the answer. I said, so that's going to happen. And, you know, if you don't learn those lessons now or get it straightened out now, then you're just going to run again when, you know, you get to that situation down the road.
Yeah. And, you know, your son is off in college now, Jalen. It's crazy because I remember Jalen running around our practices now. I was covering him playing at Oconee County High School, and now I got to see him play his last year at Clark. And I mean, that felt really weird, just, you know, watching somebody you know watch grow up from a little kid. Now they're playing, making plays, and he's fun to watch. So what's that been like? Just, you know, knowing what you were as a player, but then, you know, seeing a mini you out there doing some of the things that you were able to do when you played in high school.
I wish I could really put it into words. You know, what I say it is not going to, you know, give it, do it justice. But, I mean, it was just pure joy. I mean, that was the main reason that I wanted to come back home and coach him for his senior year. Because, again, you know, I left and got into college and missed, you know, middle school, a lot of high school. But being able to have that opportunity to coach him for his senior year was just, I mean, it was pure joy. I mean, every day at practice, you know, it just took us back to when he was 4 and 5 years old and we out running routes in the driveway. You know, that's exactly what it felt to me. It was just, you know, dad and son being able to just spend time and have fun. And, you know, along the way, you know, I taught him a little football. You know, that's kind of how I looked at it. And it was just – it's so funny to just see him become into his own person. You know, obviously he had to grow up with your dad played at Georgia, this, that, and the other. But the biggest thing I'm proud of him of is, you know, he created his own path. Like, he never wanted to be associated with that. Like, he wanted to be Jalen Gary. And that's what, you know, me and his mom encouraged. And he did that. And so it's just – it's cool to see him now off in college. He's so you know, independent, you know, proactive. He's never been one where I had to, you know, make him do something. You know, he's always been a driven young man with, you know, when he sets a goal, you know, he's going to find a way to accomplish that. And I'm excited to see what he does at Mars Hill.
Yeah, well, I'm going to get ready to put a bow on this, but, you know, it's, you know, we were just talking about how football has changed families and how has it changed your family? Just now you got a son that's, you know, working on a degree and you have a degree and, you know, I don't know your family history, but just put that into words. And
I mean, well, you know, like I said, football, period, has taken me places where I would never have dreamed of. For my family to be able to, you know, experience some of the things that they experienced. You know, I was able to graduate from one of the, you know, most prestigious universities in the nation with a degree from the University of Georgia. Obviously, being able to coach now. On a collegiate level, I was able to earn my master's degree in education from Mars Hill while I was coaching there. Being able to coach a Division I football team at a startup UNC Charlotte. You know, just some of the things that without football, I'm just going to say it would have never been possible. Again, didn't come from much, didn't have much, but had a lot of support. A lot of support. And like I said, football is really made a way for me, and I'm trying to be that avenue for a lot of people that I'm coming in contact with now.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you joining me. Before you get out of here, we're gonna do a little trivia. I love trivia, and it's gonna be UGA related. I know they got Missouri this weekend, next weekend, or whenever they play. We don't know when they're gonna officially.
Hopefully next weekend.
You know, it's been, I think the series is one side. It's really one sided, and Missouri's only beaten Georgia once.
Uh-huh.
My question for you is, who was the quarterback when Missouri beat Georgia the last time? It was 2013.
Oh, God. I know this wrong. I'm going to say Drew Lock. I know this wrong.
No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You're close. It is a guy that was like right before Drew Lock, but it was James Franklin. He never played in the NFL, but.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They put up 41 on Georgia that day.
Wow.
And it was, I believe it was in Athens. I'm not sure. You have to double check me on that. But that's been this first episode of Bulldog Extra Recruiting Podcast. I know I said that wrong. I'm still working on it. But thank you again, Damon Gary, for coming here and talking with me. You know, it's been a pleasure. You know, I really appreciate everything you're doing for the community of Athens. You know, I grew up here. You coached me, and, you know, I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thanks for the invite. I sure appreciate it.
All right. You have a good one. Thank you all for listening.